That's Wordplay Official there on the introduction. Welcome into the Tuesday, October 24th edition of The Lowdown. We thank you so much for being here with us. I'm Damian Barling, along with the cerebral assassin one, Jason H.W. Ross. We got plenty to get to. The World Series begins tonight. It is 100 degrees in Southern California right now. It is going to be 95 degrees at least at first pitch tonight.
They're not calling it the Fall Classic anymore, right? It's got to be like the Summer Classic with that weather.
Not when it's in Los Angeles, man. Not when it's in, I guess San Francisco doesn't have this problem because it's right by the water. But once you start hitting Southern California, I hate this. Like, I don't like that I'm wearing the tank. I'm ready for fall. I'm ready for cold weather.
Yeah, what's going on? I have like a sweatshirt on
you
for
are,
some reason.
Dude, it's hot. What are you doing?
Well, I don't have the arms that you
well,
do.
Well, stop. You got here 5 hours before I did. Too,
I never left last night.
That's not surprising. The hardest working man in all the show business here. So we'll talk with Dallas Braden, former Oakland A, does some stuff with Barstool Sports now, NBC Sports baseball analyst as well. He'll be with us at 1:30. You want to go see the Sacramento Kings? Hopefully a significantly better version of the Sacramento Kings than we saw last night in Phoenix. They got two coming up here at the Golden One Center, including one on Sunday against my Washington Wizards, who won again last night. We'll talk about all of the NBA action. And we got these tickets for you to see the Kings and the Wizards on Sunday. Stick around. We will give those to you in the 2 o'clock hour. All right, so Dallas Braden coming up at 1:30. Kings tickets in the 2 o'clock hour. Stick around for that. Also at the top of the 2 o'clock hour, we'll have winners and losers of Week 7. We'll look ahead to Week 8. The Philadelphia Eagles won again. They continue to roll. I don't know what the argument is for them not being the best team in football. You can look at two losses for New England. I think Philadelphia is more complete right now. You can look at other division leaders like Seattle. You can even look at the other team that I'm hopelessly in love with in Los Angeles. I don't think there's anyone more complete than the Philadelphia Eagles. And if you didn't watch the Carson Wentz Dutch Destroyer story last night, holy smokes, man. That guy gets it.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz absolutely gets it, man. So we'll get into football here in just a little bit. Unfortunately, J. Ross, we got a lead. I'm usually, you know, we said opening night. We said leading into the season. We said all off season. We said after the night of the opener here at the Golden One Center, the Kings were going to have to get used to the participation trophy. And games like you saw against Houston were okay against teams like Houston. But efforts like that wouldn't be good enough against a team like Phoenix. And last night it wasn't good enough. They had no business losing that game. If you want to jump in here and be a part of the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. 44-1140. The phone lines are open here in this first hour, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Use the term chase the game. They did that from jump.
They did. And I'm not even that surprised with the beginning. Yesterday was unknown how Phoenix would play. We were more worried about the Kings, and that's all they should worry about. Phoenix was the wild card in this. You have a coaching change. People can respond differently. You have a star player that wants out, that's sent home. How will they respond? I was not entirely shocked with the first 10 minutes of the game when Phoenix is making everything. They're shooting 70%. You look at the score and you go, the Kings are down 22. I thought the Kings could come back, and they did come back. My least favorite part of the game, to be honest with you, was the third quarter because the Kings had done all the work. The bench brought them back. The starters didn't play well. That's going to happen. That's going to sneak in and happen sometime. Well, they went to halftime, and Coach Jaeger gave them a second opportunity. Maybe you got inspired by how well the bench played. The third quarter performance by the starters was bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, Coach knows his team far better than I ever will and ever should, but I felt he left them just a little too long. Just a little bit. And I don't blame him. I would trust Zach Randolph and George Hill and guys like that. I mean, and he stuck with Buddy, who in one sense was, I thought, playing terribly. Mm-hmm. And then started to make a few hoops and kind of the numbers looked better. And then went to the bench and they did everything they could. And our guy, Garrett Temple, man, I wish he made that last shot. Oh,
he was so good there in the fourth quarter. I want to touch on a couple of things that you said there. You mentioned, are we going to bring back the analogy we used last year, where those substitution patterns are an avocado in which it's not ripe enough. It's not ripe enough. Oh, you got to do it right now.
Yeah,
too late. It's bad. It's
bad avocado.
You bad avocado.
Yeah.
You can't do it. You mentioned Buddy Hield. I felt like he played well defensively. And am I wrong there?
Well, I know he got a lot of steals, and he should get credit for it. Yeah, I guess so. I feel like Phoenix was a mess. They were throwing the ball everywhere.
I feel like that's a stat you can't pad, though. You can pad rebounds. You can pad points.
That's a good point.
And I guess, you know, to the Russell Westbrook haters, you can pad assists. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like you can pad steals, though, because you have to be in the right place at the right time.
You have to be engaged. You
have to be, no matter how many mistakes Phoenix is making. And damn, they made a lot of them, which makes this loss that much more worth. You know, you could take out the 48-point loss that they had on opening night. You could take out the 42-point loss. The fact is that they were tracking to get their butt kicked again with the number of times they turned over the ball. Yeah. I think it was 21. Is that right? 21 turnovers. Kings only turned it over 9 times. That's what makes this so much more frustrating is you just – I want the Kings so desperately to be above that, to be above them. And, you know, I was having a, you know, Marty Mack, for those who, you know, on social media, I was having a Twitter exchange with Marty McNeil, and he was just like, look, man, they might not be ready for that point. That doesn't mean they won't be, you know, in February. Yeah. It doesn't mean they won't be down the road. But right now, you know, maybe they're not. Maybe they're in that same tier as Phoenix. And I just don't look at them as that way.
Yeah, I don't either. And, yeah, I think there's enough statistics that show the Kings could have played winning basketball. They dug themselves an extremely large deficit of 22 points, but they only turned it over 9 times. To get to the line way more than they normally had in any game this season, way above that number. They didn't make enough, but they did that. And then, again, I still see signs of where you're talking about getting better by February. All right, De'Aaron Fox is getting – I mean, we see where that is going. It was Bogdanovich's first game. He had a great first half. Didn't have the stats in the second half, but you can see something there. And there's more pieces they can build upon that – it's still, I think, one of the toughest decisions for the coaching staff is finding when and where to play guys, which combinations, because I would trust Zach Randolph. I would trust George Hill. Didn't play very well yesterday. George Hill's why they won in Dallas. But, you know, and then he sprinkles in Vince. Other days he sprinkles in a guy here and there. When do you play? It's a tough kind of rotation to get down here.
Okay, I'm coming in hot.
Okay.
And this is why Kings fans hate me. I thought Bogdan was very good last night, but I watched and listened to people just melt over him. I didn't think he was that great.
Last night?
No.
Yeah, I mean, he was good, but
he made a succession of plays in probably a maybe 2.5-minute span. It might not even have been that long. It could have been a minute and a half, but he still took – he still got 12 points on 15 shots.
Yeah.
Now, you know, like if you've listened to us before, you know, we give you the numbers for what they are. But those numbers, I think, are meaningful in that he took 15 shots to get 12 points, and then he had a couple of made baskets all in a row. Now, I'm impressed with the guy. I enjoy watching him. I absolutely believe he's going to be a starter sooner rather than later. But, man, I was listening and reading people just melting over him last night, and I started to think, did I miss it? Did I miss the Bogdan boat?
Well, I'm not going crazy
for
his game last night. What I did like, you mentioned the 15 shots. I actually like that he took that many because I thought in the preseason he was a little bit passive. So he was more aggressive his first game. I like that. He didn't make one in the second half, though.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, his first half numbers were actually really nice, made a couple of nice passes. Yeah, I mean, for his first game, too. I mean, I think he's going to a place where this team wants to take him. As far as his individual game last night, I would say good, not great.
He seems – I hate to use this term because I feel like I'm going to have to preface it with someone who's not. I feel like his basketball IQ is really high.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's smart. And remember, he was a pro player before. Like, he may be new to the NBA, but he was a pro player overseas, and that's meaningful. But when you look – you know, he's still a first-year player – in the NBA, and you're watching, you know, that's one takeaway that I did get from him that I feel like everybody was on board with is this guy seems ahead of the curve in terms of first-year players in the NBA. It's not that different. It is different. The comparisons are different, but I think they're both apt. And when we talk about Ben Simmons, it's his rookie year, but he was around the team all of last year. Bogdan, this is his rookie NBA year, but he's been in the pros before.
Yeah.
You know, he was in another pro league, and yes, I understand pace is different. Those guys overseas are pretty good. I know the NBA is the be-all, end-all for everything, but those guys are pretty good, and I think it helps them get a grasp for guys who come over. It helps them get a grasp for the game, and that's one thing that I saw from him last night as well.
Yeah, and De'Aaron, Pretty Nice Again?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one that you watch him and you go, yep, this is everything
I
we wanted. It's everything we wanted.
Yeah. And
everything we wanted.
He's also, we talked to Henry and I talked about this in the post game. It's a good example of we all, and I'm guilty of it, get caught up in starter. He played the most minutes. I mean, he played 30. I think of him as a starter, but if he's playing the most minutes, that's fine.
And we talked about that, right? Don't focus, and I'm not telling players this because I can never tell a player how to feel about a starting position because it's going to be difficult. You know, it's going to be significantly more difficult, say, for De'Aaron Fox to make an all-star team. And I'm not suggesting he's making an all-star team in the West his first year, but what I'm saying is it's significantly more difficult for guys to make an all-star team when they're coming off the bench, even if they are playing the most
minutes.
Like that's tough for them, and I'm not talking to players, but talking to Kings fans, and that don't focus so much on the top five as much as the top seven, or maybe with this team, maybe the top eight.
Yeah,
I mean top eight. That's all that Mike D'Antoni plays in Houston. Dave Joerger plays significantly more than that, but you could see De'Aaron Fox didn't start, but he played 30 minutes.
Yeah,
Garrett Temple didn't start. But he played 23 minutes, and if you can find 23 more valuable minutes from anybody in a Sacramento Kings uniform, holla at me.
Yeah.
Because we wouldn't have had a last shot if it wasn't for the way Garrett Temple was playing there in those final few minutes.
Yep.
44-11-40, a lot of texts coming in here. We greatly appreciate that. We're going to read and respond to some of these. Let's get to the phone lines here. 916-339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Alex, what's up, man?
How's it going, fellas?
Hey, Alex.
Definitely agree with what you guys are saying, and I'm really trying to keep things in perspective as a fan of a team that's really young and developing. But I mean, the Suns are in absolute shambles right now. You know, they fired their coach, star player wants out. Sounds really familiar, doesn't it?
A little bit, a little bit.
So, but you know, there's no excuses for that effort. You know, you got to kick them while they're down. And like you said, it shouldn't take a Temple effort to even come within a shot to win that game. And, you know, we're going on, 12 years of no playoffs now? And after the season, we will be the longest tenured team to not make the playoffs. The Wolves are going to make the playoffs for sure. And I think the Kings just really need to decide what they're going to do because we're not bad enough to land a top three pick. And, you know, we're not good enough to make the playoffs. So I think the end of December, Hill and Randolph can be traded. The team's got to decide what they're going to do because, like I said, we're not good enough to make the postseason.
Well, check it out, Alex. I think you're a little too down, man. It's game four. Yeah, it's game four, man. I think you're a little bit too down. Like, there's going to be bumps. Like, I don't know what you expected, Alex, and I don't know what the bulk of Kings fans expected, but this is just the way it's going to be. I know the players are more exciting. I know there's a little bit more buzz in the arena. I know fans are really drawn to guys like De'Aaron Fox, as you mentioned there. We have a very likable team, but that's not going to translate to wins, man. And we just I know it sucks to lose to Phoenix. Believe me, I did not want them losing to the Phoenix Suns. I'm fine with them losing to certain teams. I don't think they should lose to Phoenix at all. I hope they can at least split with the Lakers, if nothing else, because I consider them another bad team. They should beat Orlando, Brooklyn, teams like that. So I understand, but I think you're a little too sad here for four games in.
Well, you know, I mean, look, I've been a long time Kings fan. You guys know, 12 years of no postseason it wears on you as a fan, like emotionally, where it's like you kind of just become numb to the feeling of losing, and I'm jaded, you know, I'm a jaded fan, and like I can already see the way the season's gonna go. I mean, this team isn't very good, and I say if we are embracing this youth movement, start Fox, and let's just start trying to build this team. I haven't really liked what I've seen out of Hield, but you know, we got to stick with it and see how it goes, because just bringing in these vets and playing in these heavy minutes, I mean, what's that going to do? I know Randolph didn't play too many minutes last night.
Alex, we appreciate you, my man. Thank you, as always, for listening. Thank you, as always, for the call. You still got to – look, you got to have a structure for first-year, second-year players. Players like Bogdan coming over for the first time. That's why it's important to play guys like Garrett Temple, Vince Carter, Zach Randolph, George Hill. I would be willing to bet Chris Furlad's paycheck that there won't be another game this year where George Hill and Zach Randolph both can't score.
I think that's a safe
bet.
When
was the last time? I know you said it on the Locked On Kings podcast, which is available in your podcast store right now. You have them all delivered to your device, Kings News each day. You said it on your podcast. When was the last time George Hill went scoreless?
It was 2014, so he got the two free throws late, but he would have been scoreless. And then for Zebo, 2008. And that's when he played 10 minutes, and Isaiah Thomas benched him in New York.
Dude, so the eye-opening part, because I heard you say that, the eye-opening part to that me was like, damn, how old is Zach Randolph?
Yeah.
He played for Isaiah Thomas?
Exactly. In New York,
Holy smokes.
Well, and even Alex, I mean, I heard it, you're right. I think Alex, is, I mean, he's down, and you can't, you know, fans are going to feel the way they feel. But I don't look at it the way Alex was as far as when you're adding it all up and then you attach this year to the past years and you say, well, it's going to be the 12th year without making the playoffs. I feel like this is now the start of a plan, though. Like, they when they made the decision to trade DeMarcus, that's when the plan started. So, again, fans probably don't want to say, well, this is year one. I mean, I get it. They have had the past. We all lived it. But they have a structure. They want to make the playoffs, but I don't think anybody's expecting them to or are picking them to. And if they do, fantastic. If they don't, the plan is still in place.
Yeah, and I know it's difficult when you're a paying customer, right? And you're paying to go to a shiny new arena, and with that shiny new arena comes new prices for your beer and new price. And I, as that, you know, that food went from B minus C quality at the old place to A plus quality with A plus prices. And you're investing every time you go to a Kings game, whether you're a 41 game season ticket holder or you're going once or twice a year, you're investing in that. So I can never tell a fan not to be frustrated with the product that they're seeing. But I can tell you from our perspective, last year, you know, there was a point where, you know, we're doing the show and it's like, you know, the Kings have lost seven in a row. I don't want to spend 20 minutes during football season talking about that.
Right.
I feel like it's different now because, you know, maybe in January I'll feel differently. And maybe in February I'll feel different. But right now I feel with each game, even coming out of this loss to Phoenix, which is just overwhelmingly frustrating because I do believe they're better than Phoenix, there's stuff to talk about with this team. And there are high notes to talk about, whether the high notes are, you know, Bogdan's IQ. And far be it from me, that's one thing I hate doing as a civilian talking about a basketball player's IQ, but there are certain things that you notice as a fan, and that because we're quick to point out when someone doesn't have that,
right?
And so it's worth praising a player when they have, or De'Aaron Fox, and you know how he's playing in the way that he started this season, and how he seems to be everything the Sacramento Kings hoped for, you know, long before the lottery even took place.
Sure.
So, I feel like there's notes, you know, there's something from each game worth talking about with this team right now. If that changes in January or February, I don't know. But I know my approach this year to the Kings season is a whole lot different than it was last year.
Right.
And,
me too.
And that's why I feel like, again, I know it's hard to hit the reset button and say, oh, you know, it's year one when it's really year, you know, 13.
Right.
I completely understand, but it's just something that we who cover it are going to have to deal with, and fans are going to have to deal with it. Brandon, thanks so much for the call, man.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Good.
First off, shout out to the Lock On Kings podcast. You've done a great job with that, Jay Ross.
Thank you, Brandon.
Been tuning into that. Real quick, I get the lineup's going to change a lot, but do you guys notice maybe a demeanor thing with our starting lineup? I look across it. They're all really solid vets, some good players, Randolph and Hill, and I get it, but it seems like Hill, Cauley-Stein, Randolph, Justin Jackson, they're really, easygoing type players, it seems like. And I feel like we're missing maybe like a Temple or even Fox starting. That way we have someone to go attack. I just feel like it always seems that we start off slow and a little bit sluggish. Have you guys noticed that at all?
Thanks for the call, Brandon. We appreciate you so much. Thank you for checking out the Locked On Kings podcast as well. You can subscribe to the Lowdown podcast, too. They're right there linked with each other because of the great Jason Ross is involved in both of those. Garrett Temple started the first game, if I remember correctly.
No.
He didn't start the first game of the season? Oh, it was the preseason game he started.
This has been – it's pretty much been Justin Jackson, Willie Heald, and Hill, and the only change also was Zach Randolph when he –
Came back.
Yeah, missed the 1 year.
So my feeling is it's a mix of the veterans. You have Buddy Hield in there, second-year player. Justin Jackson is obviously a rookie. I haven't noticed. I actually think De'Aaron Fox is perfect right now mm-hmm. on the bench. However, if you're ever going to evaluate a starting lineup, I think you have to do it when you go down. You know, I think it was 32-10 at one point in the first quarter yesterday, Jason. And I think the first quarter ended at 36-17 before they closed that gap during the second quarter. But when a team consistently gets out to slow starts, that's when I'm screaming, hey, you know, when we have Garrett Temple on later in the week, maybe that's a question for him.
Yeah.
Is what do you attribute slow starts as a team? You know, not coach speak, but as a team, when you guys talk to each other individually and you meet with players only and you know you guys are in the huddle before the coaches come in, what do you attribute slow starts to?
Yeah, and the only thing I could notice from yesterday, I felt like, Damian, the first maybe 7-8 minutes. I think the two baskets the Kings had, one was very early, Buddy got to the basket, and then there was another cut that was either Buddy or Willie. And I went, okay, everything else, jumper, jumper, mm-hmm. jumper. And I'm like, okay, that's – but what's interesting is Phoenix was doing the same thing, but they were making them all.
Yeah.
But the Kings were just, you know, get to the basket, try some different things. And that's where De'Aaron came in and changed some things. So did Temple, was a little more aggressive, and certainly Bogdanovich. But – I mean, coach is going to look at that. He's going to see if this is a continuing trend. I'm sure he'll make a change.
Right. Also, you don't overreact.
Yeah, it's
you
four games.
One game. You know what?
Change everything.
Take them all. De'Aaron starting, Bogdan starting, Scal, you're in. Yeah, that's not going to do anything for anybody either. Hey, Peter, thanks for the call.
Hey guys. Great topic, and appreciate just the conversation. So I watched all four games thus far, and being a season ticket holder, you know, there is a lot to be excited about right now, because we have a squad that has, like, the right attitude to, you know, to move this franchise forward. You got young guys that are – I mean, the upside is unbelievable with several of our guys, obviously De'Aaron Fox. But, I mean, you know, you look at just, you know, Buddy Hield. I mean, look how he kind of – you know, he was down initially, got back in, and he just played, like, tremendous – defense, and you know, he missed a couple really easy shots, got him again by playing amazing D, and then finished. And I just like this squad. I think Scal is, you know, going to be a remarkable talent. And, you know, I think as fans, we just have to, you know, enjoy the ride. And I've actually bought more tickets this year. I wasn't going to go all in. And I'll be honest, guys, I've bought some multiple mini packs now, because I really like how this franchise looks. And we've been competitive pretty much, I think, three out of the four games, I mean, to the wire, even against Houston. So, guys, a lot to be excited about. So I appreciate the dialogue here.
Absolutely, Peter. We appreciate you listening, man. Thank you so much, and thank you for calling in.
Isn't that great, though? I mean, between our first call, Alex and Peter, both Kings fans, kind of different perspectives. Neither one's right nor wrong. It's just how you kind of look at things.
And I understand both of them.
I do too, completely.
And I know this was a frustration that I had kind of towards the end of the last season was, okay, they've already admitted, okay, we're starting this whole thing over, especially after the Boogie trade. And that's kind of where we checked out. We would talk about the Kings, report them at this, but then it was kind of like, dude, it's not year one. Like, you're starting all over. You're telling your fans that they have to be patient again when they've been patient for 12 years. So I completely understand the way Alex feels, but seeing the character on this team, and I'm not trying to be funny with that term either.
But there are bright spots.
Yeah, there's mm-hmm. there's stuff here to like, hey, you know what, okay, if it is year one of, you know, let's evaluate it again next year in 2 years, and then if it's still not good then, you know, then we have to revisit some conversations. We're going to have tickets to see the Sacramento Kings coming up on Sunday against the Washington Wizards. You're going to have a chance to win those at 2 o'clock. We continue the conversation. If you want to get in on the phone lines, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. 6-1. Who's getting on the wagon? We'll explain next. Hey, quick note to NBA players as we continue here on the Lowdown. Stop cussing at fans.
Yeah, that doesn't go over well for the league.
Dude, are you kidding me? This is the fourth player in...
Already.
Four games. Josh Jackson fined $35,000 for making a menacing gesture and directing inappropriate language towards a fan. He joins Kyrie Irving. He joins DeMarcus Cousins. The Ohio State football guy. Was it Ohio State? Somebody in college football. I think it was Ohio State. Somebody in college football did it this week, too. They gave the finger as they scored a touchdown.
Oh, no,
to
that
the
was
crowd.
Tennessee. Alabama, wasn't it?
Oh, was it Tennessee?
Wasn't it? when that game was ugly. And it's like, that's your scoreboard?
Tennessee doesn't even have the right to use the middle finger unless they're looking.
I think it was Tennessee.
Unless they're looking at Butch Jones or in the mirror, they don't have the right to use that that middle finger. Dude, stop. Yeah. I don't know why this movie is stuck in my head. I just think of that line from Liar Liar. And I think it's the second. I think I referenced it one time off the air, and now I'm referencing on. Stop cussing at fans, a-hole!
Yeah.
What are you guys doing? Why is this happening?
Losing money and image and all that stuff. Yeah. They get fined.
Ridiculousness.
Yeah.
Absolute ridiculousness. There was some good NBA. Oh, speaking, this is bad segue. Marshawn Lynch suspension was upheld.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know.
He appealed it, but
No ruling from the Fifth Circuit or the no appeals. It's not going to New York or Dallas or, you know, anywhere like that. He's just going to miss the game against the Buffalo Bills.
Just move on from it.
Where he once said there's nothing here but a Dave and Buster's, which I still think is one of the all-time great lines. Wrap things up on the Kings. A couple of Edward, we'll get to you in just a heartbeat. A couple of texts here I want to touch on. Frank Mason didn't get any run yesterday. I'm always more curious about what we see, what we don't see in practice. Frank Mason played a little bit in the back-to-back, I think. I think he got 15 minutes or so.
Yeah, the only one he played in was Denver.
Was Denver. Yeah. Why do you think he's not getting more playing time?
I think at this moment it's a numbers game. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the only thing I can see because I think he is one of their, I don't know if I say better players, but I think he's a guy that deserves some minutes. But now you're taking some away from De'Aaron or George Hill or slash Buddy or slash Bogdanovich. It's got to come from somebody.
So with those names that you just said, those names, Buddy only played 16.
Right.
Now, De'Aaron obviously played 30, but those 30 were all pretty valuable. Who was the other name you said? Bogdan, he played 25.
Right.
So it's
and then George Hill. And then maybe Temple kind of slid in there, and Temple got it going yesterday. He's kind of how they got in the game.
And he only played 23.
Right. So I mean, I think there's the reality that there's some guys deeper on the bench that will probably get some run at some point because, sadly, injuries happen or an illness, you know, just some little things, and it's a long season. I think his window, it's still coming. It'll happen.
Yeah, definitely. But you know, things are manifested when you lose a little bit.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, the Frank Mason squad out there is like, why the hell isn't Frank Mason playing?
True.
If he was playing, maybe we would have won yesterday.
Right.
Beat the Phoenix Suns. Hey, Edward, thanks for your patience, man. Thanks for calling.
Sure, I'm a season ticket holder also, and I have a very different feeling than the former season ticket holders who called up in this show. What I did was I downsized. I went from lower bowl paying over $100 a ticket to upper bowl paying less than $50 a ticket. And basically, I think it's for the same reason that people pull over and look at car wrecks. You know, I think this is an entire disaster that Vlade Divac does not know how to put a team together. And I don't think Dave Yeager is a very good coach. And to emphasize that last point, let me ask you a question. Late in the game, in the offensive end of the floor, it's our ball inbounds. Who's inbounding the ball?
I don't remember the scenario. You probably do if you can
recite it. Just any time. If we get late in the game, fourth quarter, we're in our offense again, the ball goes out of bounds, we're going to inbound it. Who's your inbounder?
Well, it could be – I would probably go with Zach Randolph, Garrett Temple.
Yeah.
Yeah. But don't you think that a team should, by now, under a good coach, know exactly who that inbounder is going to be if he's on the floor? There should be a pecking order. If it's Temple, then Temple – but you watch – when we inbound the ball, and this was true last year and also, it's always the player closest to the referee inbounding the ball who goes to inbound it. We don't have a guy. Yeah. And that, to me, is evidence of poor coaching. You should have stuff like that. Now, let me ask you, you said we shouldn't lose to Phoenix. Let me ask you, you're putting a team together and you get to your pick to put your team together and you got a choice between De'Aaron Fox and Devin Booker. Who do you take?
Well, the sample size on De'Aaron Fox is a little small, Edward, but I don't see that as an adequate comparison. I mean, De'Aaron Fox has played four games.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can choose either one depending on what you think their potential is. Who do you choose?
Well, I'd probably choose Devin Booker.
And I'll take Fox just because.
Me too. Now, a couple of rounds later, you get into the old veterans that nobody wants, and you got your choices between Costa Cufas, Zach Randolph, and Tyson Chandler. Who do you take?
Not Chandler.
Oh, I do.
Okay.
He solidifies a position for you.
Edward, why are you're negative today? Like, what's wrong, man?
Well,
you want to hug it out? You want a hug? Come here. I'll give you a hug. Come on, man.
No. I'm still upset about the way they did the DeMarcus thing last year.
There we go.
2 days before we had to renew our season tickets, telling us we're signing him for a 5-year deal.
And then
we all pay him money, and the next week they trade him.
Okay.
That was sleazy.
Now, that's okay. Now, you buried the lead,
yeah,
Edward.
You sure did.
You should have just come with that. Now, I completely understand that. Edward, we love you. We appreciate the call. I can absolutely understand why you're frustrated with that scenario, but you should have led with that scenario rather than ask us who inbounds the ball. Text line's killing him. Just to be clear, unless you're being just absolutely egregious with whatever topic we're talking about, we're not the ones who yell at the callers and hang up on them and tell them. We're the more positive show. We're woke, as I learned on Twitter today.
Yes.
So we let Edward have his – and, Edward, we legitimately love you. It's just I felt like there was more to the story.
He took us on a tour.
Yeah.
He took us on a tour.
A three-hour tour.
Inbounding to who would we rather have on a roster to – hey, that was sleazy how they did DeMarcus. Okay. And that's fine. That's what he's upset about.
Oh, man. And that's entirely okay. But as you noted, he took the streets to get to San Francisco, man. That took a while to get there. He was trying to avoid traffic or something.
But who is inbounding the ball?
Who's ever closest to the referee, apparently.
So. All right.
That was fun. Yeah, that. We'll get to the Eagles here in just a few minutes because that warrants that way. I don't know that the game was necessarily spectacular, but we certainly saw a spectacular performance from Carson Wentz.
Yep.
Thank you. As the Eagles move to 6-1, we saw the Philadelphia 76ers get their first win last night. We saw Ben Simmons notch the first triple-double of his career. Washington stays unbeaten. They beat Denver in a really fun game, actually, 109-104. Weird call at the end of that game. Who was it? Was it Jokic?
Yeah.
Ran into Scotty.
Yeah.
I think Scotty Brooks flopped.
A coach flopped.
Scotty Brooks flopped.
Yeah.
And got a technical foul. I assume it was John Wall. I think John Wall goes, shoots the free throw, makes the free throw. It could have been Bradley Beal. One of those guys makes the free throw. And that puts it at a 4-point game or a 5-point game at that point. And this was in the final second. That was a big call. That was a gutsy call by the referees.
Absolutely.
We'll get into the rest of the night in the NBA. Some other notes, a testy game in Houston. Rockets lose their first one. We'll touch on that. Memphis is playing underrated. Memphis is playing really, really well to start the season. We'll get caught up on that. We'll get into Monday Night Football as well as we continue here with the Lowdown on Sports 1140. Time to get your UC Davis Aggies football tickets as they host River Cal Poly at Aggie Stadium this Saturday, 4 p.m. Go to UCDavisAggies.com. Thanks to the Twitter world. We don't give out our Twitter IDs very often. At Jason Ross 1140, at Damian Barling. Thank you to at King 49er. Man, you live a tough sports life with a Twitter handle like that. He sent me the video of what Josh Jackson did to get the fine.
Yeah, that was bad.
Josh Jackson's really lucky he just got fined.
Mm-hmm.
He mimicked a gun and yelled F you at the fan.
And it's not just mimic. I mean, he's like
pop, 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 pop. Yeah. That's a bad look, Josh Jackson. Come on, man. Do better than that. He's super lucky. 35,000. Steph got 50 for throwing his mouthpiece.
Right.
Now, I know an official is involved in that, and anytime an official gets in the conversation, the punishment is going to change a little bit. But Josh Jackson's awfully lucky, I think, to not be suspended a game. Also, thanks to Bob and Isak and Andy Diamond. Andy Diamond's wondering what's wrong with some of the callers today. Why are they so negative? It's a young team, she says. It's a young team. We're going to have to get used to this. And that's what we've been talking about. I guess it's easier to talk about a team losing than, actually watching the team lose. As I said, I'm fine. I'm completely understanding. The Kings are going to lose a lot more games than they win. But there are certain games that I don't want them to lose. There's certain games on the schedule. I mean, now look, they got New Orleans coming up. Boogie's going to be emotional. He's going to be emotional. The crowd is going to be emotional. I imagine they're going to be super hyped. The game's on TNT. I was thinking about this, too. Boogie's going to get a huge reaction on Thursday.
define that.
He's going to get a massive standing ovation.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely. You know what made me think about that? And I know you brought this up on the air. I think it was last week we were having this conversation, and I thought, you mentioned you think there would probably be some booze mixed in. And I recall one of the things I was always surprised about since actively covering this team is as many callers and tweets and texts as that we'd get regarding DeMarcus Cousins, I never heard that in the arena. I never heard a 50-50 response from DeMarcus Cousins in the arena. You know, you noted the we talked about this game yesterday where he allegedly spit the mouthpiece out, was thrown out, was brought back in. He got a hero's return when he came running out onto the field and then out onto the court. And then, of course, they won and the crowd went nuts.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that 50-50 split at the arena. Now, I didn't see it at the Golden 1 Center. I didn't see it at Ark. I didn't see it anywhere. I just felt like the people in the arena, which are the biggest consumers of Kings basketball because they're the ones paying to be there, they love him. And I think that's going to be the case on Thursday.
Yeah, you might be right in a sense that, for the most part, almost anybody who's ever come back, I mean, it's kind of once a king, always a king. They treat you well, and he's been one of the best Kings as far as stats, production, talent, all that kind of stuff, just not in the wins, which is valuable to a lot of fans too. But he provided some pretty significant moments. I don't know if I see an overwhelming standing ovation, but we'll see.
I think it will be if the Kings allow it. Because remember, the Kings have to play a part in that too. Scott can just as much announce DeMarcus Cousins' name, take a 2-second pause, and then announce it from the University of Kentucky and move right along and not give it an opportunity to happen. It's going to be the game ops people of the Sacramento Kings who will decide what type of ovation he's going to get. And if Scott lets that moment breathe, then I believe it'll. Yeah. I believe that moment will be there.
Yeah.
The Rockets lost their first game last night. The Rockets were up 10 on the Grizzlies in the fourth quarter, and the Grizzlies came all the way back. David Fizdale has done a fantastic job with this team. There was a little scuffle with James Harden, and James Enos was playing really just physical with James Harden. They had kind of blown the lead at that point. It was tied at 88, and he got tangled up with I forgot who he got tangled up with, but it was Mario Chalmers.
Okay.
He got tangled up with Mario Chalmers. Mario Chalmers goes to the ground, sticks his leg out, and kind of tries to trip James Harden, and Harden does not respond well at all. He squares up to fight Mario Chalmers, and everyone gets in the middle. And the best part about that is while the referees are reviewing who's at fault, who's going to get assessed technicals and all that, the camera catches Trevor Ariza. Trevor Ariza is looking up at the screen as the replay is being showed. And he turns around and he starts laughing at James Harden for the way he squared up the fight. It was probably the best part of that whole little scenario. But, man, Memphis Grizzlies now 3-0. Rockets fall to 3-1.
And not only in the 3-0, their first game was a victory over the Pelicans. But they beat the Warriors and the Rockets. So two teams, if you think they're 1, 2, 3, wherever they fall in line, that's two impressive wins. And they're doing it a little bit differently than they have in the past. I wasn't really that big of a believer in Memphis this year. It's a great start. We'll see where it carries them. But two wins over great teams, that's impressive.
Love David Fizdale, man. So much respect for that guy. Giannis Antetokounmpo. Come on, man.
Yep.
Come on, man. 32-14-6. He scored 30-plus in every game so far this season. Every game. It's a big sample size of 4. 4 out of 82. I freaking love this kid. I don't know when that league pass premiere thing runs out, but if you haven't sat, I don't mean casually watching the highlights. I don't mean looking at Bleacher Report. I mean, if you have not sat down and watched the Greek Freak yet, man, you're missing out on one of basketball's great current joys.
Yeah, and he's doing everything kind of because he has to. I wish he had a little bit more on his roster, but they're 3-1. Good start for them.
Yeah, and Golden State got back to their winning ways yesterday, 133 points. Against the Dallas Mavericks, who haven't grabbed a win yet.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a long year for Dallas.
Yeah, it's going to be rough. Miami, they beat the awful Atlanta Hawks as well. Obviously, you know the result of the Kings games. I think I mentioned Wizards remain unbeaten. They head to L.A. That's an ESPN game tomorrow, the Wizards and Lakers. And there's already the LeVar Ball yapping and the Martin Gortat and John Wall and Lonzo Ball and all of that good stuff. So that'll be a fun one.
Yeah, tonight. Yeah, it's 1 week. The season's 1 week old.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. There's only 4 teams undefeated. I went fast.
Wizards
and three
Memphis,
in the
Wizards, Memphis,
Spurs.
Oh, the Spurs. Yeah, Spurs won last night.
Clippers didn't play, but they're 2-0.
Yeah. Spurs were losing that entire game.
Mm-hmm.
Scored like the last 11 points of the whole game and managed to pull that off. There's room on the wagon. If you want on, I got plenty of room for you. Carson Wentz is the guy. Give Giannis Antetokounmpo the MVP in the NBA. Give Carson Wentz the MVP in the NFL right now.
No Alex Smith?
No, he lost.
Oh, okay.
Although Kansas City posted a cool stat a few minutes ago, Alex Smith is leading in like completion percentage, yards, like four categories. And anyone who has led those categories those four categories through 7 weeks of the season has won the MVP.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there he is.
Carson, give it to him.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really like Carson Wentz, man.
He's playing great. The deep ball was a concern of how he would – kind of the difference of maybe where he needed to take the next step. Now it seems like he throws a long touchdown every week. He threw a couple of passes that he just dropped in perfectly on some of those deep throws against Washington. Again, each week I get more and more impressed with Philadelphia. And guess what? Niners, you get them this week.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Have fun.
Philly's got the 49ers. Washington, you talk about a big game for the NFC East. The Eagles are in firm control. Now the Cowboys and Washington are going to fight each other to stay relevant.
Right.
They're playing this week. That's a massive one there. Did you see the play where Carson Wentz escaped? Like he was –
Yeah.
He was trapped. He was trapped by both offensive lines.
Yeah, and nobody had him. And then he just kind of, hey, you know what? I can run. And he did. He just popped out of there and had a nice run.
It was costly, though, as they lost Jason Peters, pro bowler for them. He's gone for the season. They also lost, that was his ACL. They lost linebacker Jordan Hicks as well. He tore his Achilles yesterday. So that Monday night win, there was some damage there. You know, all of the praise going to, you know, Carson Wentz, his four touchdowns, that one interception he threw. Kirk Cousins was solid again. Philadelphia, tell me a more complete team in the NFL right now than Philadelphia.
I think it's them. I think Kansas City is just as equal, and Kansas City beat them, but two losses in a row makes us change our opinion a little bit on KC. I think KC's, though, is very, very good.
I mean, looking back on the way, you know, it seems – forever ago, looking back on the way that the Chiefs lost that second game, mm-hmm. you know, against the Raiders,
right.
obviously. Let's take that into perspective. I absolutely believe those are the two best teams
yes.
in the league, but just by proxy of having one loss, like how do you shy away from Philadelphia? I'm not asking you to project when the playoffs get here and they have to play Seattle or, you know, one of these other more, playoff established teams, which I don't know who they're going to be right now.
Which was Green Bay
right.
we were worried about. But if Rodgers is out or right. if they don't even make it.
Yeah, now we're talking about, you know, we're talking about a situation where Philly could represent the East. And then, I mean, who knows who's going to represent the North? I mean, there's so much. We'll talk more NBA, NFL, excuse me. As a matter of fact, Jay Ross and I will have one small thought on the entire NFC in the World Series. That gets started tonight. Dallas Braden, former Oakland A, and analyst for NBC Sports. He'll join us at 1:30, hour number two coming next.